This time I present to you the distinguished Brother Dick Gregory.
I'd like to say thank you very much. How do you truthfully say it's a pleasure being in Grand Rapids? So let me think of something I can honestly say now. It's nice seeing so many young folks. I was flying in from Colorado Springs last night, and I was like kind of tired and kind of sleepy, and I wanted a little rest. And so when I get on the plane, there's a white cat sitting next to me. So I dozed off to sleep. Watched him for a while. He was kind of groovy, so I relaxed enough to close both eyes. Just when I dozed off to sleep, he decided he wanted to strike up a conversation with me. So he did it the usual way. "Wake up, boy." And I woke up, found out he didn't have nothing to talk about. He wanted to discuss Negro progress in America. And I tried to inform him that I didn't want to talk about black progress in America. Oh, that upset him. He went on to accuse me as destroying the tranquility between the races, you know, all that stuff. And I just tried to explain to him I didn't want to discuss black progress in America because there's too many people in America is not aware of the areas where we really made the big breakthroughs in. A lot of people think we made tremendous breakthroughs in jobs and housing, education. The biggest breakthrough for black folks in the history of this country happened 2 years ago in the state of Texas. We got our first colored hurricane, Beulah. And I mean, it's, you know, little by little, some areas is really breaking through. Television, you've been digging them television commercials lately? Yeah, they're really getting, you know, and it's about time they use some black folks on them TV commercials. I got so tired of looking at that white dove fly through that white woman's kitchen. "Oh, Marge, there's a white dove in your kitchen." Now, just one time, I can see my sister run through there and say, "Beulah, baby, there's a crow on the biscuits." I say. Now, they're getting us in them various situation parts on television. I don't look at television that much, but I didn't even know we had a black cowboy until a couple of weeks ago. What's the name of that show? The Outcast, yeah. We figure we're going to get us a couple of black cowboys soon so he can have somebody to kill. Now, they let him kill the white cowboy. He kills the white cowboy every now and then, but the script writer got to do such a heck of a job writing that script, because in order for this black cat to kill a white cowboy, this white cowboy have to be guilty of every crime ever committed in the history of the... No, I copped the show a couple of weeks ago when that black cat killed a white cowboy. And this white cowboy had just finished raping a blind, paraplegic Salvation Army worker. Plus, he had stole $2,000 worth of Christmas seals. You know. And then they let the black cowboy go at him. You know. But there'll come a day, I guess, when he can just gun a cat down, just gun him down, you know. So like I said, I dozed off to go back to sleep, and the white cat nudged me again, and he said, would you explain to me what is black power? I said, no, I will not explain to you what black power is. And I tried to explain to him that for 12 months, I went out of my way to explain to white folks what black power was. Even when I couldn't find white folks, I'd call them up on the telephone. Hello, are you white? May I explain to you what... But I just felt, you know, that 12 months ago after that first tremendous heart transplant operation, the one in South Africa where the black cat gave up his heart to the white cat, the only heart that's working right. We just kind of figured that like the whole world knew what black power was. Yeah, you got to admit one thing, that heart is pumping. That white cat's probably somewhere in Johannesburg right now singing the blues. I don't know if you were aware of the fact how thrilled black folks was all over the world when we found out that a black cat was going to give up his heart to a white cat. I mean, we was thrilled because, you see, basically we've been knowing for years that there's really nothing wrong with white folks that a change of heart wouldn't straighten out. But we must admit to you, in all honesty, we didn't want the heart to work that good. Now, that heart's working so good, it's kind of scared us. You see, nothing frightens us no more than the thought that one day you white folks might start assuming we gonna be your spare parts. And you know, there's a lot of people that's against heart transplants. Some's for it, some's against it. But let me go on record as saying I am against all heart transplants. But I'm for transplants. Well, not only heart transplants, I'm against all the type of transplants you can hide. You see, I would love to see a white cat get a colored foot. You let him take that to the beach with him next summer. I can just see it now. Come on, Joseph, pull off your other shoe. Let's get in the water. Let me say to you young folks this evening that it is a pleasure to be here. I guess I can truthfully say that I spend 90% of my time or 98% of my time on college campuses. And I'm glad tonight is student night. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow night when them fools come in. Yeah, I've been around you young, beautiful folks so long, I get scared when I got to talk to old folks. You know, I might start putting in my contracts, you know, that I'm not going to talk to nobody over 16. And then, you know, then you have to have it where you can bend a little bit. Say, all right, if you're pressuring me, 23. But I spend 98% of my time on college campuses. I guess I'm supposed to be on one tonight, right? Now, I go to about 300 colleges in a 9-month period. And for a reason. Because you young people in this country is the most morally dedicated, committed group of young people that's ever lived in the history of this country, barring nothing. Now, let me say to you, don't read these old right-wing cracker newspapers in this country to try to find out who you are or what you all about. Especially you white kids, because black folks wasted our time for 5 years when the movement got started, going downtown to get the newspaper to try to find out. Forget that. because the average newspaper in America is not morally sound enough to even attempt to tell you young folks about what you all about. Now, I don't say this tonight as an indictment against newsmen, because newsmen's in the same bag my mom and daddy was in. They're a victim of the system, and I wonder what day will they rise up to them old fools that control the news and control what they're writing, what gets through. Maybe one day, if there become a revolution among the reporters themselves to see to it that they can get shown what they bring in and get printed what they print, then maybe people will start having faith back in the news media again. But that depends on the establishment. It has nothing to do with you young folks. And so I say to you, I hope you don't have to depend on finding out in the press what you are all about. Time you pick up one of them newspapers, they talking about hippies and yippies, dirty, stinky, bearded, smelly, irresponsible kids. And I wonder, why is it because you have a beard, why does that mean you have to stink? They don't say nothing about Abraham Lincoln. And he didn't only have a beard, he was ugly too. You youngsters have a mighty job. Just keep on doing your thing. You see, if the newspapers ever get honest, they would really tell you young kids about yourself. But have you ever read a newspaper that said that LBJ, the number one strong man in this country, was unable to run for re-election, and he got a few more days in office now because of the young people in America? Because of your moral dedication. It didn't have nothing to do with Gene McCarthy like they're trying to lead people to believe, because Gene McCarthy was the same fool then that he is now. And the bad thing about you young white kids is you freak out over a good PR game, and that scares me. Gene McCarthy looked the part that you think honesty should look like. But have you asked what happened to him the last 2 weeks? Have you asked why he came out for long against Edward Kennedy? Have you asked why he gave up his seat? Because he's a politician. And thank God LBJ looked the part of the monster he was, or you wouldn't have found him out. Look at Kennedy. Kennedy's the one that escalated the war in Vietnam. Kennedy is the one that killed the Diem family. But Kennedy had the role that you white folks think a man should have to be morally sound, so y'all went along with it. And had LBJ looked as nice and attractive as the Kennedys did, that monster would still be the president now. So I say, thank God he looked like what he is. Yeah, it's very hard for LBJ to trick you with that barbecue sauce dripping off his face. And so I say that you young kids today have a tremendous job, because the faith and destiny of America depends on you young folks. That kind of saddens me as I go around the country. I speak to well over 1 million young folks a year. And it saddens me the fact that not only do you young folks have to solve the problems confronting America today, but you have to solve problems that you had nothing to do with creating. These problems was here when you got here, but they will not be here when you leave. Thanks to us old fools that just passed ahead of you. Because see, you young kids today is in a bag that no young American's ever been in the history of America. You see, not only did we not solve the problems, we've used up all the tricks. So for the first time in the history of America, you young folks is coming through with the problems, but you ain't got no tricks. I mean, when I was a kid, my mom and daddy, my grandma, and everybody in my neighborhood taught me one day, son, some white man gonna call you a nigger. And don't get mad, because God don't like no evil. And sure enough, one day one of them crackers called me a nigger. And I didn't get mad. I just scratched my head and wondered why it took them so long. I got 7 little black kids at home right now. And we ain't teaching them nothing. And I guarantee you one day, if a white man called them a nigger, it's going to surprise them. And they're going to act accordingly. Ain't no more tricks. When these old fools wonder what make you young folks act the way you act, because you ain't got no more tricks. Let me say to you, I did not come here this evening to impress you, but only to inform you. And when I leave here, I couldn't care less about what you think about Dick Gregory. Because I'll always have the one consolation of knowing that whenever we wake up this year, next year, 20 years from now, you'll always be able to say, at least Brother Greg didn't lie to us. And I think that's one of the big problems confronting you youth today. It's us old fools lie to you 24 hours a day. It's nothing new. We start off lying to you in the crib about that Santa Claus boy. Yeah, my mama had me writing a letter to Santa Claus. Now, when your mama lied to you, anybody's supposed to be able to lie to you. Because that Santa Claus boy, he goes over better in the white community than he do in the black community. Not that we don't want him. But you see, we just know darn good and well ain't no white cat coming in our neighborhood after midnight, so we'd blow that story. <laughs> 24 hours a day, we lie to you young. What's the biggest lie we tell you now? We tell you that the number one problem confronting America today is the problem of air pollution. The number one problem confronting America today is the problem of moral pollution. This is the most morally polluted, degenerate, insane nation on the face of this earth, bar none. And you young folks in this country have the job of giving America her sanity back. I hope you don't make the mistake that so many of us have made. We're so busy running around eulogizing America. Eulogize my country till she dies. America's not dead yet. And I hope you youngsters don't waste your time eulogizing America, but spend your time examining America and finding out where the cancer is so you can save this patient. I'm so sick and tired of running around listening to people talk about America the beautiful, America the what? Yeah. Can America ever be beautiful with that Indian trapped up on that reservation? You got a big job to do. Every time I see the American flag and think about my Indian brother, the American flag can't look good to me. It look like a pair of dirty drawers waving to me. And the day that you youngsters work, solve the problems confronting America today. That's the day we can all boast and talk about America the beautiful. And I guarantee you one thing, the day America becomes as beautiful as she should, that's the day we don't have to talk about it. Man got a pretty car, a pretty home, don't have to run around talking about how pretty his home is. Anytime you got a pretty woman or some pretty clothes, you don't have to run around talking about how pretty it speaks for itself. Anytime some cat want to tell you about his pretty old lady, Jim, you believe he's living with Lena the hyena. So you youngsters have a mighty big job to do. Thanks to us old fools. I think the greatest thing happened for you young people this year was, last year was the Democratic Convention. Because after seeing what you saw on television, it sure woke a lot of you up to the system. Was it 3 days after the Democratic Convention was over, the whole establishment tried to convince you that you did not see what you saw on television. They said it didn't happen. You know, if Kosygin was dealing with a world as insane as America is, don't you know he could beat that Czechoslovakian rap just by getting on television saying, y'all didn't see it. So we admit we sent little miniature tanks to the Czech border for Christmas gifts, and the cameras blew them up to make them look like real live tanks. Yeah, but the Democratic Convention in Chicago woke up a whole lot of people that really wanted to go to sleep. Woke up a lot of you young fools, and ain't nothing no worse than a young fool because he got so long to be a fool. Now the Walker Report came out, and for the first time they had to put out an honest report because it was dealing with a bunch of kids that wasn't going to, you didn't even care if they made the report or not. The Walker Report say that it was a police ride. And you see, that's what them reports say. One of the few times in the history of this country that the police shouldn't have been blamed. That was not police action in Chicago. That was political action. Had Mayor Daley told them to leave the hippies and yippies alone the way he tells them to leave the Shriners alone when they come to town, they couldn't have bothered them. And if anybody doubted how much power you youngsters have, after the Democratic Convention was over, there should have been no doubt. Because if had the hippies and yippies not came to Chicago to change your system, Hubert Humphrey would be your president now. Now I say that to say when young kids can get that strong that you decide that one man will be the president instead of another, you've changed the faith and destiny and the course of history as power. Because what went on in Chicago was enough to put a bitter taste in enough people's mouth to make them not go to the polls. And had they gone, they wasn't about to vote for Nixon. They stayed home, and Nixon became the president. And I run across a lot of people that get upset because you youngsters came to Chicago, and had you not came, Nixon wouldn't have been the president. And the groovy thing about young folks, you so morally pure and honest that it didn't make you no different which one of them fools became the president, because all of them are the same. All stinking, dirty politicians act the same way. So it made no difference who's the president, a Democrat or a Republican. And I hope you youngsters work when you change the system to see to it that only statesmen can run for office instead of politicians, because an American politician have created more problems than they have solved. So you have a job to do. And so that's why the Walker Report was half honest. I say half honest because it was not a police riot. And they had to come out and satisfy you to bring you back into the system, but you didn't need no Walker Report. Suppose I stand up here tonight and spit on you. And then they got to bring somebody in here that wasn't here, give them $200,000, and $200,000, and 6 months later, they hold a press conference and say, yes, it was definitely established that Dick Gregory spit on the crowd. Well, they didn't have to convince you, because you know what happened. And so I say, you youngsters, 15,000 hippies and yippies showed up in Chicago to change the system, and the whole structure got upset. Why? Because you was trying to change the system. That's why my brothers got to work so hard, the organization, because they're trying to change it. It would have no trouble if they was organizing whores and pimps and hustlers, baby. They could walk right in the police department and get a permit. That's right. Not all the whores and pimps and hustlers I know from one end of this country to another, they can't do nothing to get arrested. This is that system that you got to work to change. But the first time you get up and tell the honest to goodness truth about this country and don't be laughing and scratching your head, all at once you got to become the police's number one enemy. So the young kids went to Chicago to change the system. And you know what the reaction was. And I ask you, who do you think was the most immoral in Chicago last year? The hippies and the yippies or the Shriners when they was there for their convention? Who do you think committed the most adultery in Chicago last year? The hippies and the yippies or the Shriners? Who do you think spent the most money on prostitutes and whores? The hippies and the yippies or the Shriners when they was in Chicago? But nobody got upset over the Shriners because the Shriners didn't come to change nothing just to buy something. And so I say, you youngsters got a mighty big job ahead of you. Mighty big job to work to change this degenerate nation. And the groovy thing about America now, she's become so corrupt, it's not an issue of what you can do for me, it's the issue of how quick you better clean up this country for yourself to make it fit to live in. Yeah, you young folk can really upset us old fools. Don't want to get no haircut, don't want to shave. But you know how bad that have upset this system? Because what you're trying to say is morality will no longer be a clean-shaven face and a Brooks Brothers suit and a haircut once a week. And we're saying that we're too immoral to let you get away with that, because when you can't go to Saks Fifth Avenue and get the latest fashions from Paris and bathe in Chanel number 5, then you can have all the abortions you want to have and nobody cares. But now we're saying when you can't look the part of the way we think morality is supposed to look, then y'all really put us in a trick, because now you're saying us old fools, morality will no longer be bought. Morality will no longer come from without, but will come from within. And do you know what a game you can put us in? That's why the old establishment got to worry about the way your hair looks. That's why the establishment got to worry about the way your face looks and the way the clothes you wear by, because that's the only way we've learned to tell if you was morally decent and upstanding was if your pants was pressed. Just get out of the bed after raping a 3-year-old chicken. But if you was pressed and had that bow tie, it's all right, let him in. That's why our system is key to, if you got a shirt and a tie on, you can come on in here. But if you haven't, we can't trust you. And the biggest gangster and the biggest dope pushers in the world got shirts and ties. So you youngsters got a job. Keep on doing what you're doing. The only reason us old fools are ahead of you is because you're chasing us. You know, the interesting thing about television, as bad as it is, if you keep looking at it, every now and then they'll slip through and show you where it is. 9 weeks after the Democratic convention was over, when everybody was upset, they showed you another crowd in the street 9 weeks later on that same tube. Only it wasn't young hippies and yippies in Chicago. It was a crowd of people in the streets in New York City. You remember that? 20,000 sick degenerates from Wall Street came out one day to look at a broad's titties. And nobody got upset over it. J. Edgar Hoover have not said titty watching is communist inspired. What do you call a bunch of sick degenerate titty watchers? Extremists left to right. You know what? If Sister Francine really wanted to get off that subway without being watched by them degenerates, all she'd have to do is hold a press conference tonight and say, Monday morning at 11:33, I will emerge out of that subway wearing one of the tightest sweaters ever been worn in the history of the world. And I guarantee you Monday morning at 8 o'clock there'll be 300,000 of those sick degenerates waiting on her. And at 11:33, when she emerges out of that subway, if she sincerely do not want to be looked at again by them degenerates, all she have to do with that tight sweater on is have two signs across her bosom, one reading, "Free Huey Newton, baby," and the other one, "Bring the boys home from Vietnam." And I guarantee you, within 2 minutes' time, them 300,000 fools will be gone, back into their offices to participate in their antitrust violations. Well, you youngsters got a job. And the reason everybody's upset because the system, everybody's trying to change the system. And this is what it's all about. I remember when I was in college, oh, we do anything we wanted to do. Nobody got uptight because we weren't trying to change nothing. We had panty raids back in my days. Y'all remember those? You ever read about it? Well, we didn't. They did. I went to a white college. I wasn't about to go in that white dormitory and take no white drawers. I never would have got out of jail. I used to stand out there and watch them. You know. Y'all ain't hip. Y'all too young to know about panty. They used to just kick the door in at the girls' dormitory and run all through the dormitory and they didn't take no lipstick, no pocketbooks, no cigarettes. They just took all the drawers. Nobody got upset. Everybody said, well, boys will be boys. It's all in growing up. Nobody got upset because you weren't trying to change nothing. Then they got tired of stealing drawers. Then the young kids decided they'd see how many goldfish they could swallow. Didn't nobody get upset? They let you swallow a whale if you want to. Then they decided to see how many people they could get in a telephone booth. Y'all remember that? You pick up the paper in the front page, University of Arizona sets new record, 500 kids in telephone booths. And you show your old picture, some little old weird looking cat from the Bell telephone office bringing another booth. Saying, well, here's a new one. The other one got busted. And he's saying, huh, boys will be boys. You want to have some fun, don't put 500 kids in a telephone booth. Go downtown Grand Rapids one day with just 5 kids and picket around an empty telephone booth asking AT&T about those antitrust violations and about those Hobbs Arm long-distance phone rate and see how many cops will be around you and see how quick you'll get busted and see if they'll be saying, boys will be boys. Changing the system. It's a big job. It's what my brothers is talking about today. Changing the system. They're talking about raising $300,000. They're talking about a food program. Going to the moon. Nobody could deny that that was an accomplishment. First time I kind of felt a little something for the moon program is when I knew they was behind it. I went out one night and looked at the moon and said, can you believe 3 human beings is back there? An accomplishment. But not as big as accomplishment had America said to the world that during the Christmas season, we're going to go and we're going to take a survey of everybody in America who goes to bed hungry. And by June of 1969, not we're going to try to land on the moon, we're going to try to wipe out starvation in America. Now that's an accomplishment. A third of the American people go to bed hungry. I knew it was a lot of hunger in America, but I never knew how much until I read the Field Report. With 6 brilliant doctors, 3 of them that had studied starvation in remote areas in Africa, went to the South, into Appalachia, and came out with a field report, which the FBI is trying to check out now, because these fools are trying to say that the report's a lie, because they said they found hunger in America that surpassed any form of malnutrition they found in the darkest parts of Africa. That would have been an accomplishment. That's why my wife and I decided this year that we're so ashamed living in a country that have so much but give so little that we decided we will eat 3 days a week the whole year of 1969. Those 3 days will be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, we will not eat. We're going 4 days a year, a week this year without eating, because it's just a disgrace when we sit and know that when me and my old lady go to the store, it ain't what we want, it's a matter of how much we feel like caring. And just think, in this same, not 2 miles away from the store where we shop, there's people can't get enough to eat. And so this is what you young kids are all about. You're talking about changing the system. And these old fools don't understand what you're talking about. Muhammad Ali is the greatest example of young folks. Dedication. Here's a man, one fight could bring in $10 million. He said, before I go against my conviction, you can have your money. I'm saying a whole lot in the capitalistic system. But this is the type of young folks that America got to put up with today. This is what's happening on the college campuses today. For the last 3 years, every time you look around, black kids was closing up black schools. Raise your hand. Did any of y'all read about the black schools black kids was closing up? Did any of you know it? Did you read about what happened at Central State with Wilberforce, what happened out in Tuskegee, Alabama? Black kids been closing down black colleges, talking about the institution, changing the system, and nobody cared about it. It might make the paper and it might not. But the minute you close down a white college, everybody wants to get upset. Don't make no difference if you close all the black colleges down you want. This is what it's all about. This is what they're talking about in San Francisco State. This is what they're talking about in Brandeis. They ain't got nothing to do with white folks. We talking about changing a racist structure that's choking us to death. Changing the institution. You know, if all the white folks in America disappeared tonight and wasn't nobody down here but black folks, Puerto Ricans, Indians, and Mexicans, and we had to run your institutions with the same set of principles you run yours by, black folks still couldn't get in Harvard and Yale and all them schools. Have nothing to do with you as a color. We talking about the structure, the institution. It's such a racist system. And when we get ready to bucket, everybody gets upset. You know, if a bunch of niggas would have went around talking about black capitalism, every paper in America would have been doing editorials talking about that separatism. But old Nixon, with his Howard Johnson looking self, he can talk about black capitalism and nobody wants to talk about it. That might be racism because it's a cracker talking about it. Who do you think you are? Long as old Chucky Boy talks about black capitalism, it's accepted. Oh, it's so nice. But the minute we're talking about controlling the black community, something wrong with it. White folks been controlling the black community for 400 years. Nobody thought it was anything wrong with that. Any of you ever look at television, you ever see the Dayton game? Any of you ever see that? Raise your hand if you see it, the Dayton game. You ever see whenever a black person come on the Dayton game? Everybody on it is black. Now, don't you know if a nigga went on the Dayton game and said, only way I'll perform is I want 3 black women, the whole system get upset. Why, he's a racist. But as long as the television show, which is run and controlled by white folks with their racist principles, as long as they have a black man and 3 black women, or a black woman and 3 black men, that's accepted. You don't even see nothing wrong with that, because that's this racist structure. And this is what we're talking about. Changing this structure. This is why black kids is talking about letting black folks in on colleges. And I think white folks, when you start getting concerned about that old white redneck cracker hillbilly, you better start talking about dropping that test for him too, because he can't get past it neither. I went to Southern Illinois University for 4 years, and the only way I could get in that white school, I was the number one milder in the nation when I finished high school. I had the fastest time of any milder in America, so they waived the entrance exam. Had I had to take the entrance exam, I couldn't have got in. And this is what we're talking about. We tired every time we got to go pass the test. The test is structured on racist lines. They ask me about what is 2 and 2, 4. What is the Eiffel Tower? How the hell I know? I was busy beating that rat off me. And so this is what we're talking about today, changing the institution itself. The institution that when you get on a train that have said down through the years that all the porters have to be black and all the engineers and conductors have to be white. This is the structure we're talking about changing. A system that will spend $300,000 in the black community building a new gymnasium so you can sit around and look at your niggas develop for the gladiator ring, but you wouldn't give us $25,000 for a chemistry department. This is the structure we're talking about changing. And everybody seemed to be getting uptight. We talk about black control of the black community, and people run around talking about separatism. Why y'all believe in separatism? We've been separate for 400 years. When we first came over here, where do you think we stayed? In the house with the white folks? But it's okay as long as Boss Charlie is setting the rules. And a whole lot of people are going to start talking about controlling their own neighborhoods. The Indians and the Puerto Ricans and the Mexicans. Because controlling your community still don't give you the United States Constitution, but it keeps the insults out. You imagine if the Indians controlled their own educational system, since we got them pinned up on the reservation, you know how many insults they wouldn't get up there if they controlled it? Every time you read this old American history book, we're talking about when the Calvary won, it was a great victory. When the Indians won, it was a massacre. And we send that same book up there, and a little Indian kid got to read about red folks massacring people. And that Indian wasn't doing no more to the American white man than we did to Hitler. He was just beating off an invader. This is why people today is talking about changing this racist structure. Oh, in your books you read Kid Carson, a great hero. Kid Carson got his name Kid because he killed more Indian babies than any white man in the history of America. And you send that same book up to the Indian reservation praising Kid Carson. And the day that Indian starts fighting for his own control, since we ain't going to cut him in on the total pie, then that's the day he can stop his insults. And this is what it was all about in Ocean Hill, Brownville, in New York. It's all they was talking about. Since you're not going to cut this system open, then let me control my piece of it. So you youngsters got a big job in changing this system. Mighty big job. We ask them now that they make Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday, a national holiday. Man, people getting upset. See, every time we look around, we out of school on some white folks' birthday. And the bad part about it, I grew up in St. Louis where we had Columbus Day off. They closed schools down on Columbus' birthday, October the 12th. So I meant for 8 years in grade school, I was out of school. 8 days of my education was interrupted for Columbus Day. And 4 years in high stayed out of school, 12 days of my educational life to celebrate Columbus' birthday. And then after I got a grown man, now white folk trying to tell me that he might have not discovered America. They had me out of school 12 days of my life for the wrong cat. And now we turn around and say, the greatest man that have lived in the last 100 years in America. Wouldn't make no difference what color King was. We just kind of glad he was black. Here's a man that people all over the world celebrates. Anybody all over the world would have loved to have King for one of their citizens. And now we got to run around and get a lot of static about can his birthday become a legal holiday. Well, all we can say is we hope they do it real quick before we have to force them to do it. Seems like the only thing America understands is force. Well, you get on your knees and pray, God, please make King's birthday a holiday, and nobody seemed to care. But you get uptight and niggas get to looking evil and go downtown to City Hall and march on the White House looking all evil and yelling and screaming, and then they come out and want to talk to us. Yeah, well, they might give us a whole week. What we're saying that it's about time we have a black man birthday. Since we made the country, we built the country. If you don't believe, if you know anything about economics, you go back and check out them 400 years of free labor. So all we're saying is it's about time that the whole country closed down one day to honor a black man and to do so much for our kids and so much for black consciousness. You youngsters got a job to do. Dr. Martin Luther King was killed, and oh, we got upset. Oh, they assassinated Dr. King. They assassinated Robert Kennedy, and everybody got uptight. They assassinated Robert Kennedy. They assassinated JFK, and we cried and screamed and hollered. But nobody got too upset when they assassinated Lincoln Rockwell and Malcolm X. You see, America is not a nation that really gets upset over assassinations. We just get uptight when you kill somebody we like. 99% of everybody in America that got uptight over Dr. Martin Luther King being assassinated, if George Wallace was assassinated in the morning, they wouldn't be uptight. That's a sad indictment on this country. Yeah, you youngsters got a big job. Big job. Whatever you do, you got to work real hard. I do not advocate destroying the capitalistic system, but I say to you, you better work very hard to beat the capitalists into their rightful position, and that is behind the United States Constitution and not in front of it. This country is not governed and not controlled by the United States Constitution. This country is controlled and governed by the capitalists. And so when you go out and peacefully protest, and people, nobody want to hear that. We went out under the Constitution in America and peacefully protested and peacefully assembled that there be strong gun legislation, and the capitalists that manufactured the guns saw to it we didn't get strong gun legislation in a nation that demands you have a prescription to get your medicine, but you don't need one to get your gun. I can't hit you in the head with my pills and kill you. I can't throw my cough syrup on you and injure you. United States Constitution said every man that's born in America, that's an American citizen, have a right to bear arms. I'm not against bearing arms, but I say if you make me go through some changes to get my medicine, you should make me go through some changes to get my gun. A nation so insane, we tell you youngsters at 18 years old, you're old enough to get drafted and go to war and be killed, but you're not old enough to vote. Is that a trick? And if you young kids keep being them type of fools and go on and die before you can vote, then maybe death is what you need. And what scares me is you young kids talking about, if I got to go to war and die at 18, I want the right to vote at 18. You better act like you got some sense. If you got to go to war and die at 18, you better fight to get the right to die and vote at 17. Yeah, because if you can vote at 17, you might get so groovy, it might not be no wars when you get 18. You see, the sad thing when the capitalists control, that means we take all the emphasis off human rights and put emphasis on property rights. See, there's no emphasis in this country on human rights. We put the emphasis on property rights. That's why while we walk down the street exercising a human right, nobody cared. But the minute niggas start burning that property, they start getting poverty programs and start giving us a big piece of money and start listening to us. And just every time you look around, now somebody's talking about that problem because we became a threat to property. That's a sad affair in this country. The only thing the capitalists understand is if you become a threat to their property. Then they're ready to listen. Henry Ford, them niggas damn burnt down Detroit. Henry Ford's still giving money to us. Here's a Ford grant. Study black. I'll take that Ford grant and study Ford, because that's what my problem is. Ford and all them old fool families like him that's choking this country to death and doing all them things they're doing. And if Ford could loose that grip up, be a whole lot of people who could change their attitude. But have no doubt in your mind that the capitalists control this country, and all they're interested in is property rights. That's why Mayor Richard J. Daley in Chicago could say shoot all looters to kill. It's property. Didn't say nothing about shooting no pimps, no whores, no hustlers. You never heard him say shoot a murderer to kill, shoot a dope pusher to kill. And I'll be honest with you, when he made that statement, shoot all looters to kill, it's the first time I ever agreed with him. I hurried up and sent him a telegram. I said, dear fool, your statement pertaining to shooting all looters to kill, I agree with wholeheartedly. If you make one stipulation in it, make it retroactive and let's first put the gun in the Indian's hand. And so I say, you youngsters have a mighty job to do. Keep your eyes open and watch everything, especially us old folks. And especially your mom and daddy. Watch them good and ask them a lot of questions, because you got to sleep with them. Man, somebody come by your house and knock on the door. Motherfucker say, who is it? I say, Department of Army. Say, what do you want? Say, we want your dog or your cat. Say, what? Say, yeah, we just got a new law passed. We send pets to Vietnam. We want to send your dog. You know, you can laugh because you know darn good and well how much hell your mom and daddy would raise somebody tries to take that dog and send him to Vietnam, don't you? It'd be a shootout on the front lawn. It sounds funny, but it's very sad when you got to admit that you're living in a time when your mom and daddy would raise more hell over the dog going to Vietnam than they raise over you going. Yeah, you got a lot of changes to make. Your mom and daddy wasn't so busy trying to make that money. Do a little research. If your mom and daddy knew that it was 152 senators and congressmen's sons who haven't been drafted, that's old enough to be drafted, they might think twice before they let you go. Dean Russ' son, 5 years ago, was old enough to get drafted. He ain't left Washington, D.C. yet. I sure wish I was old enough to get drafted. See, when I got my induction notice, I'd fly right to Washington, D.C. and handcuff myself to Dean Russ's boy. Then I'd hold a press conference and tell all these patriotic fools, whatever's wrong with Dean's boy is wrong with me. Can't understand how poor folks wants to be so patriotic. If they ever send me induction notice, I'd say, let me check the records. Let me see how many Rockefeller's folks is over there. Let me see how many DuPonts is over there. Let me see how many Fords is over there. You know, it look like the poor fool is, the more patriot, he just wants to die 12 times. I think the cat that owned the most should die the quickest. I think them cats that's making all that money on the war in Vietnam, they should even send their daughters over there. And if I ever was fool enough to go to war, I would be as cool as the diplomats are in Paris. Oh, I'd argue for 3 months just over what type of foxhole I was going to get in. Yeah. I ain't gonna just jump out there and do no fighting. No, Jim, I want me a foxhole look like the moon. And after you get that built, I want the Viet Cong to my left. And the North Vietnamese to my right. And my old lady right here with me. And if you can't do it like that, call me when you get ready. And then one day you pick up the paper and say, Saturday, Dick Gregory's supposed to head for the foxhole. We agreed. But by that time, the war will be over. I believe we're dealing in a system so corrupt that we can just kill American boys all year long except Christmas. We take time out. No, these old fools going to celebrate that holiday, Jim. See, these old fools, them cats at the Pentagon, they couldn't have a good Christmas knowing they was getting y'all killed. So on Christmas, we take a truce. Time out. Now, how can you be so mad at me, you're going to fight me all year, then Christmas, you're going to quit?
We're going to bury the hatchet. We're going to drink wine and sing Christmas songs, and it's going to be just entertained. And then right after that, go at it again. And that's some war, ain't it? That is some war. I don't know. You youngsters got a lot of changing to do. A lot of changing. I was talking to a youngster at University of Wisconsin. He came to me crying. He said, "Mr. Gregory, I'd like to talk to you." I said, "What's wrong, son?" He said, I'm a draft resistor, and I think I'm going insane. I think I'm having a nervous breakdown." I said, "Nervous breakdown over what?" "Resisting the draft. Did you do what you wanted to do? Did you do what your conscience told you to do?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, if you must didn't do what your conscience told you to do, if it's bothering you." He said, "No, it's my mother and father. They don't want me to come back home. I don't hear from them no more. They completely just disassociate themselves with me because I'm a draft resistor." I said, "Well, I really haven't got time to waste no more time talking to you. If you, your only hang up is you about to go crazy because you reacting to people that think with the wisdom of a fool, I ain't got time for it." He said, "But it's my mom and dad. I don't care who it is." And as I told him, I got enough sense to know that had you not been a draft resistor, had you taken 40 sticks of dynamite and thrown into the girls' dormitory one night while all the girls were asleep and killed every one of them, I'm sure your mama and daddy would have been here on campus the next day bailing you out of jail, putting their arms around you, talking about they don't know what got into you, but then I'm sure they'd spend all the money they got getting you the best lawyer money can buy. I say that to you to tell you that we living in a sad, sad world when your mama and daddy can rally behind a murderer because the system is so corrupt and degenerate, but they can't rally behind a young man who say, I refuse to go to war and kill. So you youngsters got a job on your hands. And my brothers, y'all got a system, baby, to change. You got a job on your hands. And $300,000 is just the beginning. It's going to get way down into the depths of your soul, baby. You can get to $300,000 and nothing will stop the officials from harassing you. You bet your phone is bugged. I bet the fastest way to get a message to the mayor is call y'all's office. Like the fastest way to get a message to the White House is call my house. What are they bugging my phone for? I'm one of the most morally dedicated, pure, honest, ethical individuals walking the face of this earth. LBJ ought to be bugging himself before he bugs me, because they ain't going to catch nothing in my house with no bug on my house unless one of them fools calling up. So I say to you kids, this is the system that you got to change. You have a big job. You ever notice how us old fools get upset when you youngsters burn them draft cards? You ever ask yourself why? You ever ask yourself which is the most important card in America? The draft card or Social Security card? Which is the most important? Social Security. Social Security card stays with you all of your life. Women and men have Social Security cards. So draft card stays with you part of your life. Just men have draft cards. So beyond a shadow of a doubt, Social Security card is the most important card in America. Why is it all of us in this room tonight can all burn our Social Security cards and nobody cares? The most important card in America we can burn tonight and nobody get uptight. But burn your draft card and they'll run the army in here on us. You know why, don't you? When you young kids burn them draft cards, you send us old fools. One day, old man, you're going to get this country in a war that we're going to refuse to go and fight for you, and you'll have to fight it yourself. That gets us uptight, baby. And I got news for you young folks. Before we ever have to go fight one of our own wars, we'll quit having them. So I say to you youngsters, you got a big job. You got to keep your eyes open. You got to ask a lot of questions. And the one question you should ask 24 hours a day and as loud as you can, and that question is, if democracy is as good as we tell you it is, and why are we running all over the world trying to ram it down people's throat with a gun? And the day you young kids work to make this democracy work right for the first time, that's the day we can bring the guns home. Because you see anything good, you don't have to force on people. They'll steal it. So you got a job.
to do. And for those of you in the audience that are still in school, that's attending the institutions, I say to you, please don't make the mistake in these colleges and universities us old fools made when we was there. You see, we were so busy in college trying to learn how to make a living, we forgot to learn how to live. And that's what the problem is. Oh, I meet so many people, so I got to go away to college so I can learn how to be somebody. You was born somebody. If you're going to let somebody teach you how to be somebody else, that makes you two people. And read what Sigmund Freud says happened to you when you become two folks. And why you have to go away to college for 4 years and pay top dollar for somebody to teach you how to be crazy. Oh, I see people say, well, I got to go to school because you got to eat, get a job. Eat? A gorilla have to eat. A gorilla probably eat more in one day than you eat in 6 months. You ever known a gorilla go to college? You ever bumped into one in the supermarket shopping with you? And when the last time you read about a gorilla starving to death? You see, if we ever learned to depend on what we was born with, that thing nature gave us, it'd be a whole lot of people that wouldn't have to worry about no jobs. Nature's a strong, powerful broad. Let me show you how strong nature is. Those of you in the audience this evening that understand Chinese, raise your hand, would you please? Now, I don't see nobody's hand, so I'm not saying that nobody understands, but I don't see one hand raised in this audience that understands Chinese. Now, I say that just to show you how strong nature is. Are you aware of the fact that right tonight in China, dogs in China understand Chinese? Never been to college. Dogs in Russian understand Russian, and dogs in Germany understand German. I say that to say that through nature, you born with all the wisdom you need to get to your grits and kick your way out this trick bag. Nature's mighty strong. And as you young kids work to change this system, I hope you reach back and change this educational institution structure. I hope you change the colleges and universities. Because 99.9% of the colleges and universities in America do not educate, they indoctrinate. And I hope you change that. There's a difference between educating and indoctrinating. Tremendous difference, believe me. So you have a job. The biggest job you have with these educational institutions is not the administration themselves, is these fools that's on the board of directors. That's the problem that you have with these institutions. They don't know nothing about kids. They don't know nothing about education. The only thing they know about is how to make money. And some of the most sick, immoral, degenerate Americans walking the face of this earth with that big buck is on the board of directors of the colleges and the universities. They already got some cats so corrupt on these board of directors of these colleges and universities, there ought to be federal laws passed that if they was caught within a 500-mile radius of a higher educational institute, they'd be put in jail. So you youngsters got a big job to do. I'm changing this system. And seeing to it that education will educate. We're so busy trying to program you kids. We go to class and we give you a book to read for your class assignment. Now, that's not the way we program you. No, we're hipper than that. After you read the book, we give you a test. And if you didn't read the book the way we want you to read the book, can't pass the test. That's programming. That's why you find young folks all over this country will stoop to some of the lowest depths of their life to steal the test. Because if you get the test, you don't need the book. Because the book don't count. And after you pass the test, we put on your transcript, which ain't nothing else but old phony fraud we hold over your head. What's the transcript? What's it mean? It don't mean nothing. And if you think a transcript is mean so much, you leave college one day, 10 years later, meet somebody you want to marry and see if they ever ask to see your transcript. You let the college you graduate from burn down to the ground and all the records burn down and see if you got to go back to college for 4 years. That transcript don't mean nothing.
It just give us fools a means of really controlling you. We get the transcript and say, straight A's, that's a good fool. Bring her in.
Yeah, you youngsters have a job in changing the system. Keep your eyes open wide. You know, if you really want to have some fun, you should take this American history book out one day and read it without being programmed. Just read it with your own mind and your own sense, and you find out this American history book is one of the most corrupt, filthiest pieces of literature that's ever been printed in the history of the world. I take that back, except the first page. First page is beautiful. Every time I read the first page of American history book, I just want to cry. No, first page is something else. First page say there at one time there was a group of white Europeans that decided they wanted to break the shackle that bound them to the king and the queen. They decided they wanted to strike out and find a new land, a land where they could seek out freedom of expression, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. Isn't that beautiful? That's page one, but don't turn the page. Page two, so on the way over here to find their God, they stole us. That's a heck of a prayer meeting, ain't it? And the more you turn the page, the worse it gets. I love this, page 147. Not only did they steal us, but they came to these shores and discovered a country that was already occupied. Ask yourself one day, how do you do that? How do you discover something somebody else already owned? Not only already owned, but is using at the time. That's like if me and my old lady walked out of here tonight and you and your lady were sitting out there in your brand new automobile, and my lady say, gee, that's a mighty nice automobile. I sure wish it was mine. And I say, let's discover it. Then you'd find out how the Indians felt. Oh, yeah, this book is something else. Really something else. Give you a little quiz out of it. Give me liberty or give me death. Who said that? Rap Brown, didn't it? What did Stokely Carmichael say? Don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes. You know, I wish you youngsters would do me a favor sometime next week. I wish you would go. That's a big library, big pretty library right across the street. You can go right over there and get hold of a book that has the Declaration of Independence in it. And copy it down. Don't read it. Just, you know how to copy without reading? Just copy down the whole Declaration of Independence and keep it 24 hours a day. Never be caught without it. Now, the favor I'd like for you youngsters to do for me, when the riot season open up again, yeah, this old system's so busy programming it, they didn't program black folks that we supposed to ride July through August. That's the riot season. Oh, the whole country got upset because we didn't show last riot season. Dr. Martin Luther King got killed last April. We came out and tore up the whole country. That didn't count because it wasn't in the season. Oh, the number one question in the Pentagon now is, where were they last season? They asked George Wallace, where do you think they were? He said, oh, you know them niggas is lazy and shiftless. They got tired. I tell you where we were last riot season. We got tired of stealing all them old bad, no good products. So last July and August, we decided to go underground and study the consumer reports. So when the riot season opened up this year, we ain't stealing no more Motorolas, baby. Here's what I'd like for you to do for me. When the riot season opened up, I'd love for you to go home. I'm talking about home where your parents are. And I'm talking to you black kids, too, because you know you got some black folks in them houses that think worse and more corrupt than the Ku Klux Klan could have ever thought. I want you to go home and get your television and move it out to the center of the room and turn on the evening news, because they're going to show the riot, baby. Yeah, all them networks going to be showing them niggas looting and burning and socking it to the town. But now, I want you to turn on Huntley and Brinkley.
because they get close-ups. ABC and CBS, oh, they show the ride, but they scared of black folks. They come over and in a helicopter. You can't get it good. NBC gets such close-ups, you can recognize your kin folks. Hey, look at that, Uncle Dudlow. I didn't know he was in Detroit. Look at him. After you get your television in the center of the house and turn on Huntley and Brinkley, they should be a few. Sure, they're showing that ride scene. Run upstairs and get your mom and daddy and the rest of them old fools and bring them down and put them right in front of the television set. And listen to them. I don't have to tell you, you've heard them before. I don't know what's wrong with our folks. Sometimes I think we don't deserve nothing. I don't know, them niggas act like they're crazy. All the kids, just listen to them old fools talk while they're looking. And after you've heard enough of it, go to the television and turn the sound off. Just leave the picture. Just leave it so they can just, they can't hear nothing. They just... wasn't doing nothing but stealing, looting, and riding. We just got enough sense to take it home. But white folks supposed to be able to understand about a Boston Tea Party, but don't understand how we can understand about the rides. Because if you're going to call all that riding in can on back in them days a tea party, then what happens in the ghettos we call a Saturday night fish fry. In closing tonight, let me briefly discuss with you black attitudes in America. Well, yes, we have some attitudes, baby. Thank God, it sure is about time. And all at once, people seem to be getting uptight about our attitudes. They're more worried about our attitudes than they're worried about what caused us to have an attitude. We're tired of these insults. Yes, we have attitudes. And there's a whole lot of white folks is upset. And I can go on record as telling you, we're going to upset a whole lot more too. Because you know something? Whatever we've been doing for the last 2 years to upset white folks had really made it safe for us, because they don't lynch niggas no more in America. Did you know that? All while we was running around there praying and talking about brotherhood and brother, they just had open weekend on us. But all at once we can quit grinning and quit singing them spirituals, and it done got so safe. Why, you can go to Mississippi by yourself. You can drive through the South with your wife and kids in the car. And so we say, we don't know why white folks got such an attitude to our reaction. But whatever the attitude is, you can keep it, because it sure has made us safe. We're tired of these insults. People tell us about nonviolent. That insults us. Really insults me. And I'm a slave to the nonviolent doctrine and the nonviolent principles, to the extent that I believe thou shalt not kill includes animals. And I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat meat. My nonviolentism and my vegetarianism is my hang-up. I don't go around preaching nonviolence. No more than I would ever knock a steak off your plate. I'll never knock a steak off your plate and never want you to put a pork chop on mine. I'll never take a stick of dynamite out your hand, and I'll never let you take my picket sign out of mine. But that's my hang-up. As an individualist, America, Constitution say all Americans have a right to bear arms. I choose not to, but I will never tell you not to. I have a right to look at a man walk in my house and kill my wife and 7 kids and never commit an act of violence against him, but I haven't got a right to tell you to stand by and let somebody misuse your loved ones. You can do it on your own. So I don't teach nonviolence. I practice it as an individualist. And as nonviolent as I am,
I get insulted every time white America tells us to be nonviolent. Who's telling us to be nonviolent? The only country in the history of the world that dropped an atom bomb on another human being wants us to be nonviolent. The country in the world that has the mightiest army, the mightiest navy, the mightiest air force, and make all the napalm and drop it on people every day asks us to be nonviolent. Do you know how that insults us? The only country in the world that owns the mightiest FBI, the mightiest secret police, the local police, the CIA, own all these police with all these guns, and we don't own nothing. Then white America looks at us and say, be nonviolent, boy. We say, you go to hell. And we say to America, prove to us that you like nonviolence. Don't do nothing for us. Because black folks have proved we'll burn a city down to the ground. But if America really freaks out over nonviolence, we say, prove it. Get up on that Indian reservation and cut my red brother loose, because you can't be no more nonviolent than he's been for the last 75 years. We in Vietnam tonight with a 500,000 American boys ready to die to guarantee a foreigner a better way of life than you want to guarantee your own red-blooded brother up on that Indian reservation who you stole this country from. Something wrong with a nation that thinks that way? And so we say, until America goes up on that reservation and cut my Indian brother loose, don't never talk to us about nonviolence, because you can't prove it. And that Indian is the epitome of nonviolence. You know what that Indian got to do to get a better way of life in America in the morning? He got to get up on the viaduct in Arizona and catch white folks driving to work Monday morning down the expressway and shoot at them. Bow! And get to yelling, red power! Woo! Whitey, go home! And when that Indian say, Whitey, go home, he talking about the big trip, baby. Yeah, he talking about all the way off the continent. And just as sure as that Indian get violent Monday, oh, Monday night, the whole country be upset. I can just see him now. Those filthy reds. And Sunday, you turn on television and look at Meet the Press, and they'll be interviewing some old Uncle Tom Indian. I will be saying everything all the fools want to hear. I can just hear him now. Yes, me like a heap of reservation. The problem comes from them young bucks, them Stokely running horses and wrapped light clouds. And all the fools will go to bed happy. As long as that Indian keep running off that reservation, keep socking it to you, burning down some of these churches that's on his land, and get him some of them blonde scalps and rape some of them white ladies. Oh, baby, let me tell you, listen to him then. Oh, that Indian raised enough hell this year. Next summer, when you turn on television, you couldn't see none but Indians. Just like it was last summer after we got through. Yeah, next summer you turn on television, you hear the announcer say, tune in every Tuesday night to meet your Indian brother. 1 hour special, 7-part series, no commercial, sponsored by Xerox. Yeah, if that Indian got violent enough, sad to say, you'd find out some things you don't know. You'd find out that the Indian in America has the highest form of tuberculosis rate among any minority group on the face of this earth. You don't know that now because he's been too peaceful. You'd find out that the highest form of suicide rate of any young people on the face of this earth happens upon that Indian reservation. You would find out that if an Indian marches down the street to protest the federal government, if they have any kids going to school in the state where they live, the kids will be sent to school in another state. I marched with Indians in the state of Washington, and their kids ended up going to school in the state of Oklahoma.
because the federal government still has a right to send an Indian child to the school they see fit and not the school their parents see fit, and then they want to run around talking about they don't like busing. I hope you youngsters in changing the system will create the type of atmosphere in America that America will become as ashamed of injustices at home as she is ashamed of communism abroad. And we have a groovy set going then. And so I say to you, the black folks have an attitude, and rightfully so. Oh, there's a lot of white Americans that wonder, well, how come you don't want to be called Negro no more? How come you don't want to be called colored? That's right. We say, just call us plain old black. And we hope it don't put you in too much of an imposition. But we look around and we see you don't play no games with yourself. Why play them with us? A Jew leaves Israel tonight and comes to my country. He was a Jew in Israel. He's a Jew when he gets here. Italian left Italy to come to America. He was an Italian over there. When he got here, he was still an Italian. The Irishman left Ireland. An Irishman, when he got to America, he was still an Irishman. You don't play no games with yourself. We left Africa Africans, and when we got here, we got to be Negroes and Negroes and colored folk. No, you don't play no games with you. Don't play no more with us. Just call us black. That's what we're talking about. And out of all the races of people that left their land to come to this land and stayed the same, if he wants to play some more games, play some with them for 400 years. Oh, you run across some old black folks your mama and daddy got working for them. They wouldn't care if you called them a nigger, but don't listen to them. They get you hurt. It's a different black man in America today. 20 and 30 years ago, black folks in America had an empty stomach. Today, black folks in America have a full stomach but a hungry mind. And a hungry mind will not tolerate the same thing an empty stomach did. Empty stomachs deal on smell, and hungry minds deal on sound. And all at once, this country don't sound right to us anymore. 3 years ago, 5 white boys burned up their draft card. And within 2 weeks' time, the Senate and Congress had passed an anti-draft card burning bill. But we haven't been able to get them to pass an anti-lynching bill in 100 years. This country just told me she thinks more of a piece of cardboard than she thinks of my black mammy. I'll bring her to her knees for that. Yeah. That's what we're talking about. We're saying we're tired of these insults. I go to Vietnam tonight and get killed by Viet Cong. This country would give my black wife $10,000, but she can't take that $10,000 and buy her a house in any neighborhood she want to buy one in. I got killed shooting at the wrong folks. Yeah. Tell me I got to get a fair housing bill to live next door to you? Who do you think you are? That old redneck, white Russian crack abroad, Stalin's daughter that came to my country, a known communist and a known Russian, you didn't make her get no fair housing bill to live anywhere in my country she wants to live. How come I got to get one? And this is what we're saying, we're tired. We don't care what white folks think about us. That's your right, baby, but we're tired of these hang-ups and these tricks and changes this country's been putting us through, and we ain't going through no more of them. That's what we're saying. You bring a Russian exchange student over here. He don't want to be no American citizen. Just want to go to one of these old bad colleges and eat up this old bad education for 4 years, going right back home to Russia. 10 years from now, might be dropping a bum on your mammy's house. You don't make him get no fair housing bill. Live anywhere he want to live in this country. So we're saying we're tired. We're tired of these insults. Oh, there's a lot of white folks in America that believe a nigger is the stinkingest, smellingest, inferior thing ever walking the face of this earth. Now, I'm not here to tell you that niggers don't stink. I say do your own research. go out and check the records at the cosmetics industry and see how many multi-billions of dollars a year white folks spend for deodorant. Then check the deodorant commercials on television and see if you ever see a black armpit. And then just use your own simple knowledge you was born with. If niggas is doing all the stinking and white folks is buying all the deodorant, who really stinks in my country? Oh, there's a lot of white folks that believe niggas is inferior. The same cracker that would believe I'm inferior to him because I'm black, that's that same one that will tell you that if I go to bed with a Chinese woman tonight and give her a baby, the baby gonna be colored. If I go to bed with a Japanese woman, Italian woman, any woman on the face of this earth, I take to bed and give her a baby, the baby gonna be me. And any man on the face of this earth my sister get in bed with and get a baby from, the baby gonna be her. Is that inferior stock to you? So we say we're tired of all these insults. And this is all we're doing. We're reacting to a system. Now people tell us education's your problem. We say that ain't nothing but another cheap whitey cop-out. You in Vietnam tonight with a 500,000 troops ready to guarantee that foreigner instant freedom. Have you ever heard one white or black American ever question that Vietnamese educational standard? Well, if you don't want to question his educational standard but want to free him overnight, you better not question mine. And if you ever question mine, question it right. That's why we talk about teaching black awareness in these white institutions so you'll know my record. Education's my problem. You ever stop to think how many millions of people would be dead today on the face of this earth if it were not for blood plasma? Are you aware of the fact an American black man by the name of Charlie Drew invented blood plasma? Don't take my word for it. Check it out in your library. Are you also aware of the fact that Charlie Drew bled to death in an Atlanta, Georgia hospital waiting room after an automobile accident because they didn't accept niggas? And now you want to tell me education's my problem? The man that had the wisdom, the knowledge, the educational genius to give blood plasma to the world died from the lack of his own invention because his face was black. Didn't have nothing to do with education. First open heart surgery performed on the face of this earth happened by a black doctor by the name of Dr. Williams. First open heart surgery. And he almost didn't become a doctor because born and raised in the state of Wisconsin, they didn't allow niggas to go to their medical school, so he just uppity left and went to the medical school at the University of Chicago. Otherwise, we might not even have open heart surgery yet. And so we're saying that we're tired of these insults. Now people tell us that we should quit demonstrating, we should go into the black ghetto and pull our brother up by his bootstraps. We say, why don't you give him some boots with some zippers on them? Now people wonder, why y'all get married in the color community and have all them babies? You know you can't take care of. We know it. Gonna end up on relief. We know that too. Ain't nothing wrong with relief. Only thing wrong with it ain't enough of it. I ain't never met a white man didn't want some free money. And if words like relief and ADC and welfare upset people, they should change it and call it foreign aid. Or call it what you call that money you get in white farmers. What you call it? Don't call it relief. Call it farm subsidies. Ain't nothing but relief. You're going to pay a farmer billions of dollars across this country not to plant, then don't want to pay my sister after she plants. And we make a deal with this system. We quit having all them babies down in the ghetto. And we make a deal. The day this system learn how to hire black boys and give us good jobs like it gives you white boys so we can afford all them whores and prostitutes you can afford, we could have all them babies at home too. But not until then. And see, we don't have to ask you about that prostitute because she's my sister and she do talk when she comes back, so we know what you're doing. And so we tired of them insults. Black women in America have 20% illegitimate babies. We ain't gonna deny that. We've had fun in the ghetto, baby. And white women in America has 2% illegitimacy. But we're saying, get that halo off your head, baby. And because your white lady has 2% illegit and my black lady has 20% illegit, don't think you're better than me. Because you see, if we ever get our hands on you white folks' abortion credit cards, we will show you how to knock a rate down, too. So we saying we tired these insults, and we reacting to them. When I stop and think, had a German killed my daddy during World War II? Had a German killed my daddy in 1942, I was 10 years old then. I'll be 37 years old this year. So that means I would have gone 27 years without a daddy. Now, that's not an insult, because when daddies go to war, they go to kill or be killed. The insult is the same German that could have killed my daddy in 1942 and made me go 27 years without a daddy. That same German, 1969, can come to my daddy's country and live in a neighborhood where my daddy's boy can't live. Do you understand what we talking about? Man, we saying that before we let you treat your enemy better than you treat us, we'll burn this country down to the ground. That's what we trying to say. And probably the reason we saying it is because we acting too white. But we know what white folks would do. We know if we took this country away from you tonight and put you in the same trick for 10 hours this country's had us in for 400 years, you would burn it down to the ground. We don't have to ask you. We can look at your record and tell you. You burn in Vietnam down to the ground tonight to free a foreigner. We know what you do to free your mama. And so we said we're tired of these insults. And we're not going to take any more without reacting to them. People tell us now that you haven't made enough progress. Progress? I got 7 black kids at home, and every time my old lady gets pregnant, I realize how much progress we've made. Every time I see an old black belly getting big, I realize that's progress. My last baby was born 4 months ago, a little girl. We really got hip to the system, because in America, they hate to refer to black folks as Mr. or Mrs. So to get around that, my last child, little girl, we named her. First name is M-I-S-S. That's her name, Miss. Last name's Gregory. Anybody want to talk to her, going to have to call her Miss Gregory, or they can't talk to her. And you know, every time my old lady gets pregnant, I see progress, because I remember that just a little bit over 100 years ago, when my black slave sister went up to her black slave man and said, "Honey, I think I'm pregnant," them two black slaves fell on their knees and prayed to their almighty God that their unborn baby would be born deformed. You think about that prayer one day. They didn't pray that anything would happen to the white folks' kid. They said, "God, we're dealing with such a racist, inhumane beast. Lord, if you could give us this baby born with a limb missing. Lord, if you could give us this baby with a body twisted and a hump in his back. Or God, if you really wanted to be good to us, give us this baby born maladjusted. And if you would give us a baby born like that, that would mean it would be a baby that these white folks could never sell, God, and we would get to keep our baby all our life." That's a hell of a prayer to have to make. And one day, after the baby was born, she rushed back up to her black slave man, crying tears of joy. "Honey, the Lord's answered our prayers. His head looks funny. I think he's going to be maladjusted." And them two black slaves fell back down on their knees, thanking their God for a maladjusted baby. A baby that they would be able to keep. A baby that couldn't be sold. Progress? I got 7 of them little old black kids at home, and me and my old lady ain't never had to pray for nothing, less long a maladjusted baby. That's all the progress we're going to get, sister. And so as I leave you tonight, I say, all we saying that We tired of these insults? No more civil rights legislations. We want the United States Constitution. Yeah, they just passed a fair housing bill last year that covers 80% of the housing. You know what an insult that is? What am I supposed to do with the other 20% of me? Join the Communist Party?